I got to be honest with you this morning. I usually get about a month ahead of time to know when I'm going to be preaching, and I love preaching. It's one of my it's a joy to do. I love sharing my thoughts with you guys as a church, as a family. And I usually have like a month to like work on a subject or a topic and kind of build it up for that day. And you know, Monday came at our staff meeting. Bill, you got preaching? I'm like, yep, I'm ready. And I've had about four different subjects in my head. So you can either have four sermons, or we can just kind of, like, here's the thing, the true reality of it is I got to, even up to yesterday, and I've been thinking about every single one of those subjects, but nothing stuck to my heart. Every time I have a sermon, it always seems like God has laid a specific topic on my heart that he wants me to preach. And I got to yesterday, and it just seemed like God was saying, Bill, I need you to just be you. I don't need you to be a youth pastor. I don't need you to be associate pastor. I just need you to be you, and you talk. So if it's okay with you, I'm not associate pastor, youth pastor Bill, or anything. I'm just Bill today. I'm just a child of God, which we talked about. And I was really kind of struggling this week to try to figure out what I needed to bring to you guys. And honestly, I sat there and thought about it, and there was just, you know, out of those four subjects that I had, there was one topic that kind of kept coming up, and that was what I actually talked to my youth about on Wednesday. So far, that's the only one that seems to be something that's just not, you know, something to talk about, but something to actually bring some meaning. And that was a burden on your heart, the burden on my heart, the burden on your heart. And it was just something that has been kind of stuck with me for the last couple of weeks. And I want to ask you this question. What was your prayer this morning when you woke up? When you woke up and you started your day, and when you got up, what was the thought? What was that overwhelming, like, I hope today this happens, or I hope that this takes place? Maybe it was just, I hope I make it through a busy day today. Or maybe it's hopefully after lunch, nothing gets scheduled or comes up to where I can just rest. Maybe it was, I hope this morning's worship service is just awesome. I hope that Sunday school has a great lesson. I hope small groups is going to be really impactful. Or maybe it's just like, I just need a nap. Whatever it might be. Maybe it's, you know, getting up, I need to make announcements and hopefully I don't screw it up by calling a wedding shower a baby shower. I've already failed on that prayer, so. But I mean, what was your prayer this morning when you woke up? What was the goal for today? And I think all of us have a broad, almost kind of generic goal. Like, well, I hope to get closer to God. That's why I'm going to church. But I mean, what was that burning desire within your heart this morning? There's a song that I played for our youth on Wednesday night, and it's something maybe you've heard it before. And the song is just like a verse and a chorus, and that's it. And they just pretty much sing the chorus over and over and over again. But I played the song for our youth, and the more I listened to it this week, the more I wanted this to be my prayer every day when I woke up this morning. And the words are going to be on the screen. And the song is called Set a Fire. And it's just simply this. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. And just stop in for a moment and just read the words to yourself. Pray them if you want. But have you ever woken up in the morning and that been your prayer? You know, is that a prayer that gets said, you know, after a good week, maybe after a good Sunday morning, and you wake up on Monday, or a good message you heard on a podcast or something like that, or on the radio, whatever it might be. How often is something like that the prayer of our hearts? And I'll be honest, like I said, I'm not talking to you as a pastor today. I'm talking to you as Bill, because this is a prayer that is, for myself, is not said enough. It doesn't have to be these exact words, but there's more days where I wake up where I'm worried about the events, the schedule of events for the day, and the to-do list, and the things I got to get done, and things I got to get under control, and stuff like that, where honestly, I don't ask God, I want more of you today. And that's something that has been a burden on my heart this past week. And so I challenge you, sit there and once again just read the song, Set a Fire Down in My Soul. Not just an excitement, but a fire, something that burns and burns bright and burns hot down into the center of who we are, that affects everything that we do. A fire that burns so bright and so hot that we can't contain it, that we can't control. And the person that I want lighting that fire is not myself, because I know that's only going to last for a few hours, a few days, maybe even a few weeks. But I can't maintain that. Right? I mean, that's just going to go out. But I want more of God each and every day. I want God to set that fire down into my heart, down into my soul. Let me ask you this question now. And it's the next slide is, what burden has God placed on your heart? What is a burden that God has placed in your core, in your center? And you're like, well, I'm not really sure what a burden is. Maybe, you know, some of us, burden can get used a lot. Burden can be something that is always there, just weighing you down, that you have to carry on each and every day. Maybe it's something of something in your past, mistakes of your past. Maybe it's a bad relationship. Maybe it's just work and a bad coworker or something like that. Whatever it might be, we might see that as a burden. But what is the burden that I'm talking about this morning is the thing that when you experience it, it like sets off a warning light within your whole heart. It's almost like a trigger, like that when you see it. Let's say some of you might have a burden for homeless people. And when you drive by, you know, and you're going to Walmart and you see someone sitting on the side of the road and they got that sign, and just something in you just breaks a little bit. And something in you says, you know what, I've got to do something for them. Another burden, I'm going to use Lynn and Doug, their burden for sex trafficking. That when they hear the stories, that when they see the things, the facts that are going on with that, it's just like, you know what, their heart breaks so much that they are compelled to action. So I ask you, what is your burden that God has set in your heart? I see a lot of Facebook. You know, I'm on Facebook all the time, just kind of checking up with friends and stuff like that. And right now, I'd say one of the biggest burdens I see on Facebook is people for pets that have gotten hit by cars or that are sick or only have three legs. And you get like, oh my gosh, my heart is breaking. I love dogs and cats and stuff like that. But I see a lot of burden for animals. And I have a good close friend of mine that would gladly pay $30 a month to make sure that cats don't go to bed hungry than to give $30 to make sure a person doesn't go to bed hungry. And that's not my battle to fight as far as that. I mean, that's their burden, and I'm going to pray for them and pray that they follow what God has got on their heart. But it makes me stop and wonder about what burdens has God placed on our heart that are actually from God and not just something that we get emotional over? One of the things that is a burden on my heart that's been on my heart for a long time is youth, obviously. That's why I'm in youth ministry. I remember there was a statistic that I saw when I was in eighth grade, and it really kind of set my journey and my heart to begin to pour that passion into that burden. And that was that if a student, 80% of the students that graduate high school that don't accept Christ by the age of 18 never will. And I thought about that. It's like you go to Clarkdale and you get 30, 40, 50 kids that are going to be graduating this year. 80% of them, if they don't know Christ now, never will. And actually, that was back in the 90s. I think that number has now jumped up to 85%, never will. And that's something that I see is like, that's unacceptable. I got to do something. I don't know what I can do. I can't go out and save the other 85%, but I know that I can go out there and at least do something. And so that's the burden that God has placed on my heart. Another one that he's placed on my heart is just the military. And that is something because I see my dad. I saw my dad go through what he did. I see my sister go through what she did, my brother-in-law, my own brother. I have friends that have gone in the military. We have men and women here that have been in the military, and I've heard just a little bit of their stories. And I'm humbled by the courage and the bravery that they display to be able to sign their name on a blank check and say, whatever you need me to do, I'll go do it for someone else. And that always is amazing to me. So whenever I see someone in the military hurting, whenever I see them going through different obstacles and stuff like that, it makes me want to do something for them. I don't know what I could do, but I want to do something. And so I'm going to use my stage today to kind of fulfill that. So I'm going to ask Chad and Becky, if you guys could come up here. I want to pray for you guys. I'm grateful, especially Chad's pretty cool. You know, most people can just say, okay, I'm going to join the military, and they jump in and go to it. You know what? Chad had to work really hard to get to this point, and he hasn't given up in the 3 years that I've been here. And so, man, I'm proud of you. I really am, and I know God is. So I want to pray for you guys. What burden has God put on your heart? What actions have you done to meet those burdens? And there's a verse that kind of sets this all off for me. And it's found in Jeremiah. And Jeremiah talks a lot about the exile of the Israelites. And honestly, that was an area, a subject in the Bible that I was really weak on. I didn't really understand everything that happened or what took place. And so I've been going through Jeremiah, just finished it up a couple days ago. And if you've ever read through Jeremiah, there's one verse that always stood out in Jeremiah, and that's Jeremiah 29:11. Everyone has heard that, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." And we love that verse because it shows that God is a loving and caring God. But if you read through the rest of Jeremiah, God is really mad all the time. And it's not, you know, unwarranted. Basically, God said, "Hey, Israelites, stop doing what you're doing. Quit being ignorant." And the Israelites are like, "No, God, listen, we're tired of you. We're going to trust in this other stuff." And God says, "Don't do it. If you do, I'm going to have to exile you. I'm going to have to bring about, you know, some discipline." And they're like, "Oh, whatever. You're not going to do anything." And so that just goes on and on and on. And there's this point where God calls this man named Jeremiah. And he says, "You're going to be my messenger." And God put a fire and a burden in his heart that was so strong that it was something that Jeremiah himself could not contain. And there's this verse in Jeremiah. It's about halfway through the book. It's in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah says this, "But if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it." There was something that God put inside Jeremiah that was burning so bright that it was such a heavy burden for Jeremiah. I mean, he had to go and say, "Listen, you guys need to stop, or this is what God's going to do." And he had to talk about this destruction that God was going to bring about to the Israelites. And as he shared this message, as he gave them this warning, the Israelites were like, "Oh, whatever." They actually imprisoned Jeremiah. They tried to kill him a couple times. And yet, even in all that, he says, "You know what? It's burning in me. It would be much easier for me just to stop, to get rid of this inconvenience in my life, all this pain, all this rejection, all this ridicule. It'd be easier for me just to walk away." But every time it seemed like he did that, he's like, "I can't do it." Every time I see the Israelites, my heart burns, my heart breaks. I feel God's word burning in me. It's in my bones. That every time I try not to say anything, I can't do it. It wears me out to where I have to speak. There's another part of Scripture where it talks about that, where it talks about Peter and John. They went to the temple in the book of Acts to go and pray. And when they went to go pray, they saw a crippled man that said, "Hey, you know," the crippled man's like, "Hey, do you guys got any money?" He said, "Well, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." And Peter and John, through God, healed the cripple. And he got up and started running around praising everybody. And well, Peter and John got arrested for doing that. And they said, "Hey, you need to stop talking about this Jesus, and if you do, we're going to arrest you." And Peter's response was this: "We cannot help but talk about all the things that we have seen and heard." That there was this burden in their heart that they just couldn't help but talk about. There was this burden that they couldn't help but talk about the things and tell people about the things that they had seen. And it goes back to that burden. What is the burden on your heart this morning? What is it that God has put inside of you? Part of himself. It says, you know what, when you see this, something in you just kind of breaks. You know, people talk about passion, you know, follow your passion. And I was talking to our youth about this a couple weeks ago. When we talk about passion, we think about love. And we say, do what you're passionate about, which we translate into do what you love doing. But really, what the word passion is, passion was a word that was created to describe the cross, the events of the cross. Passion really is something that you're willing to go through pain, anguish, torture, but you do it because of love. And so when people say, do what you're passionate about, it's not so much just do what you love, it's do the things that breaks your heart so much, but you love too much to leave it alone. And for me, that was youth. I love youth. I'm passionate about youth. Not because I see youth and like, oh, they're a lot of fun. I get to play games and go on youth trips and have lock-ins all the time because I don't like sleep. No. Passion is like, I look into their eyes and I see the broken homes that they come from. I see the rejection that they get from each other. I hear the stories of how their friends talk about each other behind their back so that they can get a heads up on things. I hear about kids that cut themselves just so they can feel something in life. I sit down and I hear kids that talk about the bullying that they received, that suicide actually seems like a plausible excuse now. And that stuff doesn't get me excited, like, oh, that sounds like fun. That's the stuff that breaks my heart. And when I hear that, I can't, like, oh, man, if I get into this, this is going to be a real big inconvenience. I can't help but get into those people's lives and say, what can I do to help? What is the burden that God has placed on your heart? I promise you it's there. God gives us those burdens. He places something within us because we live in a broken world. And if we say, God, I'm yours, I'm your child, use me however, he's going to give you something that lets you, that's unique to you, that says, you know what, I'm going to use you, that when you see, you know, sex trafficking, man, it's going to put you to action. When you see a single mother trying to raise four kids, something snaps in you and it puts you to action. Man, each one of us has it. Each one of us has an opportunity to make a difference. So often we can pray. I actually had a friend. He's had a week. He's a pastor. I went to school with him in Mid-America. One of my best friends. He's a pastor up in Tennessee right now. he had a 25-year-old young man that kind of died very quickly from a something that he caught, a disease, and loved him. He's, you know, a good friend of the family and stuff like that. Passed away at 25, and so he was getting ready to do the funeral. And in the midst of like getting ready for that funeral, someone in their church, a lady, passed away, you know, unexpectedly as well. And so you have a young man that was close to Nathan's family that passed away. And then one of their close friends in their church passed away. And so, and they're like next to each other. And so you're just like, man, that's too much to handle. And then the husband of the wife that passed away was just trying to deal with it. A friend came down. A friend came down to help him out, help him through the grieving process. And it says, hey, let's go out for a ride. You know, we had a nice Corvette convertible, so let's just go out for a ride, clear our heads for a while. Got in the car, the man and the widowed husband, and took off for a drive. The convertible flipped three times, hit a tree, and killed both of them. And so my friend had to preach three funerals in the same day. And you sit there and you think, you know, hey, you know, he talked to me on the phone. He's like, I never questioned God. I trust God in all that he does. But if there was ever a day where I was going to say, God, why, it would be today. And talked to him. He had the funerals were yesterday, and he said God showed up and is bringing about healing. It was a rough day, but God is definitely helping him through it. But it brought this thought and this question to my mind was, a lot of times we pray for a long and happy life. We hope things kind of go the way we hope. We all hope that we die an old age, peacefully in our bed, next to our loved ones, to where they can all be happy that we've gone to be with God. But in reality, that's really not the way life goes all the time. And then I started thinking about the disciples, about the way they lived their life. And, you know, if you think of, if there's anyone that probably deserved to live a long and happy life, it would be the disciples. But they had had a burden on their heart that was so strong that it wasn't about their long and happy life. Each and every one of them were killed for their faith, except for John. John died of natural causes, but he died in exile. And it just makes me sit there and think that God's purpose for us is not really a long and happy life. I think he wants us to experience joy. I think he wants us to experience the fullness of this life and as long as we can. But when we say, God, I'm yours. I mean, think about this. When we become a Christian, it is more than just saying, God, please forgive me of my sins. It's more than just saying, God, I'm sorry. It is a repentance of sins. It is a turning from that and saying, all my decisions have led me to this point where I am far away from you. I am now putting you in charge, God. You are Lord of my life. I thank you that you have saved me from my sin and from myself, but I am putting you as Lord of my life. That's what it means to be Lord and Savior. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, saying you're the one that's leading, you're the one that's in charge. And so by doing that, we say, God, my life is yours. What happens if God's plan for your life is not to live a long and happy life? What happens if God's plan for your life is great inconvenience because of a burden he's placed in you? Are you okay with that? Are you okay with being inconvenienced for the rest of your life because God has got a bigger plan for you? And I got to be honest with you, that is something that I struggle with, that I have to sit and pray about often and remind myself, Bill, your life doesn't belong to you anymore. You're God's. God is the one that's in control. Whatever he wants from you, you say yes. Chad is getting ready to do that. His life, you know, whatever his superior officer say, he does it. And in the same way, God is my superior officer. God, whatever you say, I'll do it. If that means that I got to wake up 3 o'clock every morning to go and talk to some kid that's thinking about suicide, then I'll do it. If that means that I've got to open up my home to a kid that has got massive, you know, anger issues to come and live at my house for weeks on end, then God, it's not my life, it's yours. If that means that when you see a homeless person and you feel that burden and you hit and trigger, you feel that warning light going off, if that means that you go to Walmart and the thing you do is you go home and you cook meals for all those every homeless person you see, then you do it. Are you okay with being inconvenienced? What's the burden that God's put on your heart? What's the burden that God has given you for this church, for God's kingdom? I promise you it's there. And if you don't know where it's at and you're trying to figure it out and you're like, well, I don't understand how my burden would help anybody, I encourage you to do this. Go to your small group tonight. Go to a friend that you trust and sit down and say, you know, I got a burden for this, but I don't know how to put this into ministry. I don't know how to help. I got a burden for single moms, but I don't know how to help single moms. Ask your small group. Together as a family, together as a church body, we can create a ministry. And I'm not talking like, okay, we'll set up a ministry. I'm talking we can just go out and do ministry, help people. To love on people, to let them know that God loves them. We can find ways to put burdens of our hearts together so that we can make a difference. And it goes back to that song. And like I said, this song is an inconvenience. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Father God, thank you so much for today. God, thank you that you love us so much, that you have placed a burden in our heart, not so that just our life will be miserable, but Father God, so that we can go out and make a difference, so that people that don't know that you still love them and that you still care for them, they might see through our actions that we do serve a loving God. God, if a sinful, imperfect person like me can show love to anyone, how much more love can you show from a perfect Heavenly Father? Father God, I pray as we think about this, as we pray on this, as we think about the burden and think of the things that we see each and every day, or topics that come to mind, that just something in us speaks to us and says, you know, I need to make a difference. I wish that would change. God, I pray you would give us the courage to step out and do something with it. To step out and say, God, even if it's just a change in one person, let me just make that change for one person. Father, my life is not my own. I spend a lot of time trying to make my life comfortable. I spend a lot of time trying to get things the way I want it. But Father God, in the end of the day, at the beginning of each day, my life is yours. And God, I pray that I would put myself to the side. And I pray that you would put a fire in me that burns so bright. That God, I would be like Jeremiah, that it is down in the depths of all that I am, that I can't help to contain it or control it. That God is something that urges me each and every day when I wake up to go and make a difference, to want more of you each and every day. Father God, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.